evening.
So good to have your presence this evening. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 12 tonight. The title of it is So You Want a King, but the real title is In the Midst of Sinfulness, There's Still Hope. And it's kind of a unique chapter. The last third is what got my attention. And Samuel is a prophet and a priest. And the first part, verses 7 through 13, seem to be a rehash of history, going nowhere. But in the middle of it, there is a point that he's going to use later, you know. And 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, Israel's a forgetful people. Verse 7, So now take your stand, that I might plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did for you and your fathers. I mean, brace yourself, let's discuss this, and let's talk about what God's done for you, the good things, the righteous things he's done for you. Verse 8, When Jacob went into Egypt, your fathers cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. I mean, you're here because God responded to the cries back there. And so they cried out, and he sent people to lead them, Moses and Aaron. Verse 9, But they forgot the Lord, their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the captain of the army of Hazor, and in the hand of the Philistines, and in the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Boy, you forget the Lord. And the world around us thinks there's no consequences. I mean, if the Lord just walks away, doesn't even bother to listen to you, there are consequences. You don't know it, but you wonder why life is getting a lot harder all the time. Well, they've been blessed miraculously by God. He listened to the cries and made them a nation, and they forgot him, and he sold them into three different countries, and then three different countries around them were constantly beating on them. Verse 10, And they cried out to the Lord and said, We've sinned because we've forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Asheroth, but now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we'll serve thee. Yeah, we'll promise you anything. I mean, the Asheroth is a female deities, and they're all serving idols. You know, I don't know how people do it, but you can do dumb things. I mean, life going nowhere, absolutely nowhere, and you're clinging to these things because everybody else is a good idea. And now you're hollering, deliver us? Well, why don't you turn to your gods? They're so powerful. No, you always go back to God when you're in trouble. Verse 11, Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around, so that you lived in security. There, God again. Didn't deserve it, but here comes some more guys to lead them. And Samuel talks about Samuel as if he's over here, third party here. But here comes Samuel, and they now live in security. I mean, they need a leader, lead them the right way. Verse 12. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, come against you? You said to me, No, but a king shall reign over us, although the Lord your God was your king. Yeah, they, whatever this guy was, you know, we need a leader like that. We will quit going through all these ups and down cycles. He'll have great plans and great ideas, and he'll lead us. We want somebody between us and God. We just don't want to deal directly with God. So they put something in between. Verse 13, Now therefore here is the king whom you've chosen, whom you've asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. He's making it clear, you asked for it, you chose it. You know, it's on your head here. And Saul ends up going crazy, you know. And so, you know, they forget how many times God responded when they were in real trouble. He responded every time. He delivered them every time. Life got better. Always. Once they had the right attitude. Verse 14 through 18, Just because they have a king, you're not pushing the Lord out of the picture. He still rules. You have a king. You're responsible to him, but you're still responsible to God here. 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. You still got to fear the Lord. You still got to serve him. You still got to listen. You still got to do his will. You and the king. Everything may change and you have new government, but guess what? You still have the same responsibilities. 15, and if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, we talked about the past. Now, we're talking to you. You have everything opened up in front of you. You can make their same mistakes, end up in the same position, you and your king. It all depends on what you want. Verse 16. Even now, take your stand. And see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Get braced. I want y'all to see this. I want you to be wide awake when it happens. Verse 17. Is it not the wheat harvest today? What day is it, boys? Isn't it the day we're going to harvest all our labor? I'll call the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. What? You know, leave the hay out there and it gets wet and moldy and, well, the wheat. And the prophet of God is going to call thunder and rain today. Yeah, there's probably stunned silence. You need to brace yourself. Then you'll know and see that your wickedness is great, which you've done in the sight of the Lord, by asking for yourselves a king. The Lord gives you what you want. That doesn't mean he's happy about it. He's pleased at all. He could be very angry about it, but you still get it. And now, economically, devastation is hidden. Disasters have purposes. They have messages. What day is it? Is this the day of the harvest? I'm going to call on the Lord for thunder and rain. And the Lord answers his prayer, which meant they were in agreement the whole time. And these people, they wanted a king. They didn't want God. They rejected God. They had a better plan, a better way, and they could do better without him. So he gave it to them. 18, so Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Well, that's why they get respect. I mean, what's the food store for the winter now, folks? Life's going to be hard this winter. Well, you know, you come up with some funny ideas in the church. And boy, oh boy. Well, verse 19 through 25, there's two sides to the Lord. Verse 19, then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God. Yeah, your God. They know they don't have no right to call on his name. That's why the rain and thunder come. So, but Samuel, well, he prayed and he got an answer like Elijah. It wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prays again, it rains. You know, the direct access to God, God's listening, God's responding. They need Samuel now. I mean, he has a job as a prophet and a priest, and they want him to pray for him. For them, middle of verse 19, so that we may not die. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's what David, you know, he's sitting with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, and he didn't want to acknowledge to himself he did wrong. So Nathan, the prophet, comes and tells him a story. And he prays Psalm 51 about the point where he realized he's the guilty party. He really is guilty. And Nathan says, you shall not die. Oh, the wrong attitude, the wrong point at that time. These people got the message here, the loss of the crops. Whoa, we're in real trouble by what we did. I don't know what we were thinking about, but it was wrong. Middle of verse 19, so that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Yeah, when you get humbled, you realize you're guilty, you know all your sins. Nobody has to tell you. And we've compounded it by asking for this king. If they'd have been innocent to start with, you probably could have reasoned with them and said, aren't you better off just letting God rule? No, we've got more problems now. Verse 22, my new title. In the midst of sinfulness, there is still hope. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. Whoa. Isn't that good? I mean, you're guilty. You know you're guilty. And you know you compounded it. And the prophet of God says, don't fear. You have committed all this evil. Well, remind us again that we're guilty. Yet, do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't give up. Don't quit. Sure, you're guilty. You've done all this evil. But let's come back to where we serve the Lord with all your heart. Let's clean out all this other stuff. That's wonderful. In the midst of where they think they might die, and they already suffer an economic disaster, there is a way out. I mean, even though they're guilty, there's still hope. Verse 21, and you must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver because they're futile. Chasing after things that can't help you when you need help. You don't want to turn aside. I mean, you're on your own. You're chasing after idols or something that can't help you. You need a real relationship with God, so turn aside. It's worthless. Don't do that. Verse 22, for the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself. God needs Israel. Patience of God. The plan to save people a couple thousand years in the future. They're still His people. I mean, we might have to beat them down where we only got a remnant left. We might have to start over like we did in the wilderness. I mean, this is a repeat. But you know what? You're His people. He won't abandon His people. Be His people, is what He's saying. Despite the situation, He's not going to abandon His people. You need to serve with all your heart here. Verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Whoa. I mean, He's the prophet of God, and He's got to call unholiness unholiness. And He's got to call down rain and thunder on them, and He can't have no feelings and say, God, I really don't want to do this. No, you call it rain and thunder, and I'll give it rain and thunder, and that'll take care of that. And they want Him to pray for them. And He knows it's the right thing to do, that God wants all men to be saved. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. That says a lot about that would be wrong for Him not to pray for him. Lots of times people do us wrong. We don't want to forget. We don't want to forgive. Whoa. That's not good. The Lord still wants them saved. The Lord still wants them to be better off, especially eternally. In the verse 23, but I'll instruct you in the good and the right way, just because I'm praying for you, because you've got the right attitude and the Lord going to forgive you, don't you forget who I am, that I am the teacher of the good and the right way, and you need to be able to get on the good and the right way. That's not changed here. Wrong's wrong, and forgiveness is forgiveness, but faithfulness is what's required. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Consider what great things He's done for you. You and I go back to Acts 2:38. Most of us baptized for that verse. You know, got forgiveness of all your sins. What great things has the Lord done for you? Yeah, showing you mercy in the midst of the guilt and disaster personally, you find salvation. in the name of Jesus Christ at baptism. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He's done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king shall be swept away. There's teaching, there's truth. Yeah. Sincerity. You can't measure what that's worth in our hearts. Knowing that God wants people to say, no matter what, that He puts up with a lot. And He patiently waits. Teaching's being done to move them back to the right track, to get them back to truth. But sometimes disaster has to come in their lives. I was talking to somebody today, and they were talking about some advice a preacher gave them. Boy, it was good advice. You know, they deal with elders, and he said, you need respect to elders. That preacher said, I made that mistake. Attitude. I know what I did, because I've done that too. And mine was very slight, but you got burnt bad by the Lord. Burnt bad. Yeah, really bad. You know what? You won't ever make that mistake again. Never, ever. What you did was right, but the attitude wasn't perfect. Whoa. Well, there's still hope for you and me when we fail greatly. If we get up and serve the Lord with all our heart. Clean out everything. Be honest and get on with it, Lord. And don't turn aside. Don't quit because you failed again. And boy, you need people praying for you. When you fail, you need a righteous person interceding on your behalf. And you and your right attitude and somebody listening to them, everything's fine again. But the danger is that you go off and do wickedly again. Yeah, both you and your king should be swept away. You got a king, you wanted a king, you chose a king, God gave you a king. And boy, he was mad about that. But if you and your king ain't careful, you're going to get swept away. Both of you. Because I still rule. This is a good thing God rules and overrides things. It's a good thing that He gives us hope when we fail Him the most. You need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?